Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Spear of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
I mean, so much powerful. Let's give the Lord a big shout. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's that joy that comes from being in the presence of God. It doesn't exist anywhere else. People smoke and drink to get high, then you come more low than you were before you went high. But in God's presence, the path of the just is like a shining light, keeps shining. Amen. Can we for 1 minute forget about anything you're going through around you and at least be truly happy and give the Lord a roar? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right, please be seated, church. Thank you. Thank you so much, Streams of Life. Can we celebrate God in them? Ever fresh stream, powerful. Always. I mean, I will say that probably by the time we get to the middle of this teaching, we'll understand the reason why the devil fought my being here today. Amen. This teaching is going to liberate you. And it's going to put you in a posture of consistent result. So this is active preparation for 2023. Is that okay? Praise God. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Let's start reading from verse 17. Romans chapter number 10 from verse 17. All right. Powerful scripture. Now look at it. So then, faith comes by hearing. And for clarity, hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, you see, some other rendition says faith comes by hearing through the word. And we have NIV. I think NIV or NIV, yeah. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Alright? And I love this clarity because not necessarily, not all preachings bear faith. Faith is released when Christ is divided accurately. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith is released through the word of who? Christ. Alright, in essence, what is the meaning of that? The root of faith is in the finished works of Christ. Matter of fact, if I'm going to take you a step further, I'll tell you that the root of faith is in the resurrection. Because all our faith is hanging on the fact that he rose. Amen? He didn't just talk about dying. He didn't just die. He didn't just go into the grave. Alright? He rose. Now, there is a part that religion may not agree with. The resurrection of Jesus, was it automatic? Did he rise from the grave because he was just the Son of God? Did he rise from the grave simply because he was sinless? If you look at the life of Jesus and you look at his journey, you will see him consistently speaking. You will tear down this temple. It will be rebuilded again on the third day. I'm going to die. I will rise again on the third day. This and this will happen. He powered the reality so the experience can be tangible. So, we cannot separate your conviction from your spoken words. That's the fact. Now, I'm going somewhere and I just want us to follow me. Amen. So we can build a necessary foundation around this subject and we can fly and we can have a good journey. Amen. Now, listen to this. Christ will not be what you believe if he didn't rise from the grave. You just have another dead bone somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why your faith is not in Elijah. Your faith is not in Ezekiel. Your faith is not in Moses. Your faith is not in all of that. Your faith is rooted in Christ. Now there are people that have faith in things. We're still going to get there. Alright, but the real Bible faith comes when Christ is accurately divided. Amen. Meaning that you cannot tell me you have just absorbed Christ and the next thing that happens is that you are afraid. You can't tell me Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? And I don't like to tear down while building except what God has not built himself. Alright, but I found myself in places where if you have any little faith there, it will fly away. We sometimes spend time magnifying the works of the devil. I was listening to T.L. Osborne. And he spoke about the time that he had a heart condition. And he said he's been praying for the sick. People were getting healed. He had a crusade in Nigeria, in Enugu. So he lodged in Lagos. And he said he was in the hotel. And his heart was beating like he was going to die. He said, but one thing he never did was that he never mentioned it to anyone. Because for faith to work, you don't advertise the works of the devil. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen to this. One of the reasons why sometimes we have casualties around this subject is that faith has a root. Do you understand what I'm saying? Faith has a root. It's not fungi. It has a root. Now, and the root of faith is in the finished works. There are people who have, listen to this, a belief system, but it is not faith. Faith is not general belief system. Faith is still a belief system, but that it is rooted in Christ. There are people who believe that they can't fail, but Christ is not the root, so they fail. They say everything else, like those who have faith, real faith, but the result shows that something is missing. Have you seen people who were confessing something till they died, but you didn't see the result? And you want to argue that, but they had faith. The fact that the confession is there 100%, they are saying the same thing about that faith has, is not the proof that it is faith. Faith, the foundation is laid with Christ that is accurately divided. So the one who is not eating Christ is not building up his faith. When he has a belief system, it can be human attempt for survival. It is not faith. Have you, listen to this, have you gone to the bus stop before to evangelize to pout? Or I've watched some interviews, all these tout, and they will tell you that I know I will make it. Is that not the belief system? But there are several ingredients of faith that you check in that belief system, you won't find. Do you get what I'm saying? Number one, you won't find Christ. So they end up not making it. And it looks like they trust God though. They trust God, but God has left them. Listen to this. If it is faith, you will always have 100% result. Listen. Oh. This teaching is a journey. And the aim of this teaching tonight is to show you that God can be 100% trusted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look up. One time I was praying with a woman, one of the general hospitals in Nigeria. The daughter connected with the ministry line through the internet. So the mother had cancer. I said, please pray. Please pray. So one of those nights, I saw that the woman's amen and everything about her confession was more about survival and some measure of stubbornness. So I knew that if this woman is not helped to take her chemotherapy, she will die. So I told the woman that, see, I know what I'm seeing here. Obey the doctor and let them help you to keep you alive. The woman argued. See, I don't tell God. I've told God till I will see him. Nobody is going to put something in my body. Nobody is going to do this. That is a decision. But if that decision is rooted on because by his stripes, what I'm telling you is that the devil doesn't mind you having a stubborn belief system, but don't just build it on Christ. So he can defeat you again and again. This is the reason why many Christians get defeated. Some just believe that by the virtue of destiny, having experienced this, experienced that, I am supposed to experience this good part. Not so. That's not faith. So faith is not a general good belief. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? So sometimes you see people who are sick. When you see a man of faith, there is consistent recitation of God's word and God's promises. It is on that that the faith is built. Faith is a product of God or Jesus' orientation. Fear is a product of worldly orientation. Both of them are product of certain information. Do you know the reason why somebody who is very calm, gentle, can't utter a fly, can get to the midst of certain guys and they will radicalize him to the point that he will be ready to take bomb and himself? And when you ask those guys, you will see that that suicide mission is, listen to this, it is not because they are tired of living. Someone gave them orientation to the point that they believe that there are 72 virgins. These 72 waiting for them the moment they die. 72 virgins will welcome them. And they will charge them with their orientation that they will charge themselves and rush to go and carry the bombs. That's the power of orientation. How many people are receiving orientations like that from the word? Where we take steps because this is what the word says. And you see an average Muslim child that is born. On the day of the naming ceremony, they recite Quran to the ears of that child. It's a conditioning system. If you say the child is not conscious, the subconscious is. And you see from very tender age, they take them through a learning process. And they are made to repeat the same thing again and again till it becomes the only reality they have. An average believer has not even ever gone through correct Bible training. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you see that an average person in Islam is looking forward to a blessed hope of the afterlife than an average believer. Because of the power of what? Orientation. I know you have some belief that tomorrow will be good. You know it can be. What I want to show you is that as long as those beliefs are general and are built on just your psychological orientation that life will someday treat you well, God is not obligated to bring them to pass because it is not faith. It is possible to believe that having suffered what I've suffered, though, I've seen it in movies. When people go through this, life is obligated to bring the sweet part. But is it always so? That's why we have many stories we never tell. Many people who should become will never become. Many people who suffered and they expected that their son will rise. It never did. And suffered in vain until it is rooted in Christ. God is not in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it simple enough? And one time the disciples of Jesus were passing and Jesus saw the fig tree and he looked to it expecting fruit. But the Bible said that it was not even the time of figs. Why was Jesus expecting fruit at the time that it was not the time of figs? This is a very serious one. Does it make any sense? He was expecting to find fruit on it at the time that it was not the season. Let me tell you this. One time, I was going to have an online session. And I got to the house and I found out that some of the equipment we use for those things have been broken. And I was very, very angry at those who were in charge. And I never said a thing. I just managed myself and used it. A few days later, I called my wife. I said, "Do you even know the reason why I was angry with the guys?" She said, "No." I said, "Because they are trying to prove it to me that the covenant of ease is not at work in my life." I said, "It's not about this thing. How much is it? But there is a covenant that works with me that, listen, I don't..." Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Many of you are not covenant oriented, such that you allow people to come to your life and prove it to you that the covenant is not real. I am sure of the covenant that is at work in my life. It can't be 10 minutes to a program and we are looking for the equipment. How do we do this now? Fix this, patch this. If it is supposed to be here, it should be here. Anyone is obstructing the process. The same energy it takes to obstruct it is the same energy it takes to fall into bigger trouble. Do you get what I'm saying? To a carnal man, some things are impossible. But to a spiritual man, your orientation is entirely different. Look at this. I shared a story with you of Bob Jones. He was supposed to move from one part of America to another part. And you know, when you are flying, if the flight is for an hour, 10 minutes, there's nothing like we're waiting on the sky to buy fuel. It's an hour, 10 minutes. But somehow, he got there ahead of the time. And the person was also picking from the airport, got there exactly on time. And he said, Bob Jones looked at him and said, "You came late." The man said, No, I didn't come late. I came exactly when I should come." And Bob Jones just let it slide. Another time he was coming to that same part again, he came earlier than usual. The man came exactly on time. Bob Jones told him again, he said, "You came late." The man said, No, I came exactly on time. I'm a time stickler and all that." Bob Jones said, "If you were walking in the spirit, you will know the time I should arrive." Sometimes it is not like the physical is not cooperating. It is that that is not supposed to be what will be on ground. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is saying, by the principle I function with, any time I ready should be your time. I just wish that believers can pick what I'm saying. If you don't even understand this one, you can't understand the next ones. Why will he be angry at a thing that is not his time? He's saying, "My desire should power your speed." Do you understand what I'm saying? It is an orient. That's why most of the things Jesus was saying, they could not understand. Because they were not in his reality. They were wondering, what is he saying? It's not the time of figs. So he said, "Fig, because you can't function by my time, no man will function you again." And when they came back, the whole thing had dried up. And they look at Jesus. "What is this? The fig tree spoke to the other time. It's dried. What manner of man is this?" And Jesus said to them, "Have faith. Just have faith." He said, "If you have faith that is as small," listen, "as the grain of a mustard seed, you will tell a mountain, 'Be thou removed,' be removed." Some of you have had faith that you believe is even bigger than a mustard seed. Was Jesus talking about literal mountains? Talk to me now. Yes, he was. He wasn't joking when he said he would tell mountains to be moved. And he was not talking about size of faith. He used the mustard seed because he was talking about the ability of the faith to grow. That is, any faith that can grow is not disadvantaged. You understand what I'm saying? If what you have in front of you is a mountain, and you know, listen to this, because this is where we deceive ourselves. You know that sincerely, based on the kind of faith I have now, I'm not going to see results. Stay there and grow in it. Don't lie. And say, I believe. No. If result, listen, God can be trusted. Are you aware? Two is four. Anywhere in the world. And that's why when you understand faith, you move from God is able to God is willing. When Jesus told Peter, you know, if that thing had not happened, that he too should walk on water, you say, the actual water is not just water. But as long as his gaze was on Jesus, natural laws will be suspended. So faith will not be operational for a man whose gaze is not on Christ. You can because he can. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is what I'm saying clear enough? I know I still have to break many things down. Alright? I mean, let me show you some scriptures. Hebrews chapter number 11. Alright. Hebrews chapter number 11. We start the reading from verse 1. Are you there? Now look at it. Please. Try trash some of the things you think you know. And now listen afresh. Is that okay? Will you please listen? Please look at me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, the way we know real faith is in waiting process. Because, amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me give an instance. Please come, man of God. Oh Lord, I'm trusting you for a visa. Oh Lord, I'm trusting for a visa. And listen, you are in a process waiting and trusting God for that thing to come. The proof you have faith is that gladness. Because religiously, many of us have believed that it's not right to be happy. Or in other words, the all happiness, joy constant, right? Thank God. That should come as a product of the delivery will not be manifested just when the answer comes. It begins when you are still expecting. That's faith. Meaning that a man of faith in process of waiting, and a man of faith after receiving that thing, they have the same disposition. The proof that you don't have faith is that you wait for things to come before you rejoice. The proof that it is not faith that is in your heart is that certain responses are waiting till certain things come. I said, when this thing shows up, I will dance. Oh Lord, test me 1 million and see how I'll please you. That's not the language of faith. The language of faith is, one, the substance of things hoped for. I'm still waiting, but I have the substance. The evidence of things not seen. We don't know how long not seen and how long it will take to see it. But while in the process, and regardless of the length of the process, never at one point, if you have the evidence, will the length of the waiting now dwindle the evidence? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following up? If I tell you now that I'm going to send you ₦1,000,000. I look at you and I say, do you know before tonight ends, you can have ₦1,000,000? Say, I believe. That's not faith. Do you know before tonight ends, I can have ₦1,000,000? Oh, yes, glory! Like you have received it. That's faith. Faith is not God will. It is God has. You get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at the book of Ephesians 1:3. Can you just give me that scripture? Alright, 1:3, please. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Who has, not who will. Who has? Oh, glory to God. And that's why you look at the subject of healing. For a man of faith who is walking in faith towards health and towards healing, it is not God will heal me, it is that God has. Every time healing was described in scripture, it is not in future tense, it is in past. Healing was not even described in present tense, past tense. He has healed us. By his stripes, not we will be healed. We have been. So when I'm sick, I'm just the healed trying to be sick. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, let me tell you this. Please sit down. Let me show you one of the reasons why you can't have faith outside. It is the author and the finisher of our faith. My old life journey is a script. It is the author. Then it's the finisher. You know what that means? That is, as long as I can know where he stands in the end, whatever comes in between, the end is already proclaimed. Do you get what I'm saying? For me, it is not I'm going to get over this. It is that in what is finished, I've jumped and passed. And this is my alignment posture. Listen to this. Any belief that something good will happen because of human factor, I have an uncle who will do this, I have somebody here who is going to do this, is not faith yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why this needs to be settled in your heart is that whatever you call faith is going to be tested by fire, sir. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you know there are believers who are consistently living in the fear of death, in the thought of it, in the fear of it, because they've been powered by certain orientations, they've heard certain things. That possibility has been communicated much more. The movies has given certain orientations. 100 ways to die. And they sit down and watch all of the 100 ways till they become scared of even locking their door. When I saw 100 ways to die, the padlock can remove and break my skull and do all those things. They have more orientation about what the devil can do or what the devil is doing than what Christ has done. And that's why we cannot successfully talk about spiritual warfare without ending it in praise. The subject of spiritual warfare has not been accurately taught if it doesn't end with praise and rejoicing. And because the victory has been written at the end. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You have not really discussed spiritual warfare if you leave us in between. I'm saying, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about some religious way of making the devil look powerful. Just in the attempt to make people pray, sometimes you might be making them a prey and put them more in the hands of the devil. That's not the right way. See, you are not marketing on behalf of God. You can't market him. He markets himself and he has showed you the blueprint.
Oh, you should pray now. Listen to this. You should pray now. Because you see, the devil can just finish you overnight. What are you talking about? For a man who is blood washed. Yes, the fellow will pray, but you have given a possibility that even after praying this prayer, the devil can still come and you are finished overnight. Oh, give your life to Christ, because tomorrow might be too late. Yes, there is zeal, but not according to knowledge. If you are telling people that there are better off in the world, do you understand what I'm saying? I would have loved to tell you that the proof of faith is not a result. The proof of faith is process and submission to it. Do you get what I'm saying? I'd have loved to. I want to show you certain things. Let me just show you certain things. See, you might be under pressure to prove to people that you are not failing. It's not faith. You get what I'm saying? In fact, it's difficult to be in faith and be under pressure. Once you are going to be a man of faith, you are going to walk the walk of faith, you can't yield to pressure. Somebody is under pressure. Listen to this. Wants to prove to people that I'm not failing. Wants to prove to people that, see, I can drive a good car. Wants to prove to people that I can do this. You are going to do things that are out of faith to prove once it is pressure. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Follow them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. You can't separate faith from patience. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't separate what? Let me check. I'm going to tell you the reason why you can't separate that. All right? So you don't. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now look at it. Let's go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. Now look up. Before we read this, let me tell you this. You can't have faith for something that is not the will of God for your life. You get what I'm saying? Faith can only be exercised where the will of God is known. You get what I'm saying? Can we discuss the real Bible faith? The real Bible faith is not for braggadocious people who just want to prove, I did this last week, and this came. See, that life is void of process. It is void of the proof of faith. You can never disconnect faith from process. Never. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ate some of people. I mean, people have told you in your village, as you are going to school, we know you are not coming back with anything. You jump out of the will of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Say, somebody studying medicine. He said, we know you can't become a doctor. No doctor has risen from this village. You are going to come back the same way you have gone to. The fellow began to pray. in school. Lord, part one. Where do you want me? God said pharmacy. You have people in village who have said, we know. It looks like God is now saying it's true. Do you get what I'm saying? You can't use low self-esteem to prove to people and say it is faith. Faith is not an attempt of man to prove a point. Faith is submission to God's direction and the process of waiting for it. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. Because by the time we are done, we'll know which one we have been building. All right? I mean, before we read this Romans 4, look at the life of Abraham. That life of Abraham. 70-year-old man. One time he came. He said he met one God. God, this. A pagan. Said that God has instructed him. Separated his household. Blah, blah, blah. Leave your father's house. Your mother's house. To a place I will show you. Listen to this. If you have the map of your life for the next 30 years, you are not in faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Faith. Anything you get that takes you off depending on God is not from God. Including purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? This is the reason why we are having problems. This is the reason we have problems in this area in the body of Christ. Many of this, I'm sorry, sisters, I'm going to talk to brother, but many of them have not been built on the word. They are prospects. They don't know how to see what God has said as a potential in a man. Do you get what I'm saying? Because they've not been taught to wait. So you look at people's life, plenty results, no process. Plenty result, no process. Listen to this. What makes you a champion is not the number of times you punch the devil, but how many can you withstand? One of the things process does is that it makes you durable. No matter your result, without the testimony of process, you are just one punch away from the grave. One. That's why you see people, they make noise and make noise, they brag. That's why. I'm very concerned though. There's no generation that has made loudest noise about what they don't know anything about. You are hearing an average young boy say, Jesus, I'm ready to die for you. Jesus, I'm going to die. He's in church. Papa. You look for him, you can't find him, and he's not rapture. What manner of love is this? Now for a man to lay down his life with. If truly you want to die, help the people now, go and collect the gun. At least die in the process. It's a noble death. Now, you jump fence, electrocution, you die there. So we say many ambiguous things that we don't know anything about. When you find men of process, they don't talk anyhow. When Jesus says to them, give me you, this car, of the last time he says it, say, okay, oh Lord, the last time you said this, it took 3 years of my life. How do you mean it, Lord? The next prayer you will hear is grace and supernatural supply. Process teaches men to wait. And depend. The real heavyweight lifters are men of process, not men of result, just result without process. Result is powerful, but show me your process, and I'll tell you whether you can retain it. Listen to this. Waiting is not delay. Waiting is construction in progress. Delay is stagnation, but no construction in progress. But when you are waiting, sincerely, it is not delay. It is God building something that eyes cannot see.
Listen to this. If you are waiting for something and you are not seeing that waiting is achieving the work of righteousness, that at the end of it, at the end of your waiting process, you are not seeing reason to say, thank God he took me through this route. You didn't wait, you were delayed. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, as a lady, everybody come to the break your heart. You went through a route. At the end of it, you look back and look at what God has achieved in the process and say, if I didn't go through this, I would have been a monster. Thank you, Lord, for taking me through this route. Every waiting process ends with praise. That's the proof. The reason why many of us, we struggle and struggle. This process, this thing. It can't. What people say? It can't. It's because God is not in our equation. You look at that life, there's no template of anything God achieved. Do you know God builds the most when he's quiet? Do you get what I'm saying? A child is trying to do something. Say, mommy, should I do this? Daddy, should I do this? You keep quiet, you're looking at the child. By himself, he's getting orientation. We don't do this in this house. He say, I'm not going to do it again. And he's still playing around. You are looking at the child. He say, I'm not going to play again. You are looking at the child. By himself, he say, okay, I'll go and pick my book. Silence, but yet a lot of lessons to it. So the question is, are you actually being delayed or you are in process? See, the best gift I received in 2021 was the collapse of this structure before we now rebuilt this. Listen to this. When it collapsed, then I saw myself. It was supposed to be a tragedy. But when you are a man of the presence, God takes, he didn't bring it, but he takes advantage of it to show you a part of you that if you have gone ahead without that part being helped, you'll be a disaster. What happened because you gave room for it. Please get, because you need to understand that balance. But God now comes in his mercy to show you by now using that advantage of that moment of pain to show you that without this will not produce the kind of man God wants to come out. So at the end of the day, God is not just building an auditorium, he's building a man. If you ask him to pick one, he will pick the man. If you ask God to pick one between you and what he wants to do, what he's trying to construct with your life, what you want to use as a proof, he will tell you, I pick you. And the consequence of that will be that you will not go through the normal human route. Do you get what I'm saying? You are not trying to do image laundry for God. He markets himself by himself. He said, Lord, do this now so that my testimony can convict people. What you don't know is that there are thousands of people that your waiting process will help more. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you are talking about those that your testimony will help. But God is saying, so for you, that waiting is a privilege. Do you get what I'm saying? Such that when people begin to say, why will I have to go through this? You say, have you considered my servant so and so and so, whom I took through this route, and yet he was faithful? You have become a bragging right, a bragging tool. You know what it means for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to brag that you didn't do anything to deserve going through this, but I took you through this as a medium to use you as a demonstration of my excellence, that I still have men. Do you understand what I'm saying? The man who went through that
and the one that God can't brag about, who had the result having to go through, which of them is more heavy? You follow what I'm saying? It is not result that makes men heavy in the scale of God. It is process. And that's why you must stop judging by sight. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying you should start asking God, give me trouble. God, give me. From the moment God said, have you considered my servant Job? It will mean that God bragging about you may mean that you will not have peace for some level for some time. But understand that the balance in that doctrine also is that God is not just going to bring something to life just because he wants to. Job 2 said, that which I feared has finally come. But in the midst of it, it was God who was bragging about him. You might be all right and spiritually intact, and yet it's like your whole world is collapsing. But nothing is wrong with you, sir. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are not fine just when you are fine. You are fine when you are in God's curriculum. Will I wait for you to absorb that? As a child, I will lock myself up and cry and cry and cry. I cried more than I talked as a child. And I will lock myself up in the room and I will look at ants crawling after each other and I'll break in tears again. And I say, you, this God up there, you even created ants and gave them companions, or you have left me alone in this world. I'll be walking on the street and be crying. But now when I look back, I say, it is a privilege, oh God, for me to have been trusted with this battle. If you don't go through it well, you will never come out seeing it as a blessing. See, listen. It is not enough to go through. It matters what you are doing while going through. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? I'm trying to for us to stay in the balance. Said, real faith is rooted in the finished works of Christ. So then see, listen to this. It is not faith when you say, I'm going to exercise my faith on this thing for 1 hour. If it doesn't produce, faith is not you giving God timing. It is you waiting till he shows up. You are not giving God time. I'm going to give you time for 2 years. If not, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do bad things. You have destroyed it before you even started. Faith doesn't die with time. It gets stronger with time. Real faith doesn't die with time. It is hope that is delayed that makes the heart goes weary. And that's why you can be very hopeful but yet not still faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Abarashuda Nibiti Jesu Benchaba Abarashuda Osio Otiwo Abarashuda Nibiti Jesu Benchaba Abarashuda Osio Otiwo. Can we take it one more time? Abarai Shida Mibiti Jesu Benjava Abarai Shida Listen to this. Sometimes your esteem is in a direction that sincerely God will also use me. Let me tell you this. I want to say this openly. There are times that as a leader, my people are doing important things. And I get to one of them and I should tell the world, oh, this person is doing this, congratulations, this. And I sense a need that this person is in a process hold back. Whether the person pass or not is between the person and God. The following day, I will celebrate somebody doing the same thing.
Do you get what I'm saying? Let me tell you, I mean, a mentee of mine was talking to me. He said, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for God to do this. God brought unexpected people and they showed up for me and they rose for me. I said, listen, the reason God brought unexpected people is because you were not offended at expected people. That was the test you passed. It made you see the expected people have the money. But it is important that your life goes through a route where going forward, it is that you know that the tangible is coming from the intangible. Let's just wait for God. If God keeps using expected people, your faith is rooted in one uncle. You will see the bank account, but they will say, we can't help you. If you pass that test and you are not offended, then you are really waiting on God, not on them. Then that God will now show you that, listen, it is not that my hands are shortened. Do you get what I'm saying? My hands have not been short all along. If you pass this test, you will see how long my hand is. Now, let me reach out to somebody who is not in your circle. This is it. I could have done it from day one. But this, without you becoming this, will kill you. Faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Some of you are hungry now. My uncle is in UK. He can call me now. But he won't call me. He can call me now. He won't call me. That's why you have not grown. Do you get what I'm saying? I told my wife, Formula one for family becoming poor is to see the father of the house as the resource, as the source. Formula one for poverty in home, see your husband as the source. Do you get what I'm saying? Formula one, you want to be poor, you don't know how to see any human being as the source. Wait on them. God will show you. You can't put them in a seat and survive. Do you get what I'm saying? You put your uncle in the seat of God. Your dad, your mom. That's the reason why many people have not gotten the same result. God's hand is not short. Oh, I cannot bring it. But the day you take your eyes off men, you see the wonders of God. Faith is not rooted in men. It's in the ability of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, we are trusting God for a child. Sincerely. One of the things those in waiting process will learn is that you don't make babies. God gives it. Can I speak to married people? One day when you are not even checking calendar, you are checking calendar. When is this season? When is that season? Come, let's go make babies. Forget, nothing will come. Isaacs are not born that way. You can give birth to Ishmael by calculation, not Isaacs. Isaacs come when you are at the end of your rope. Genesis 17:1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, now he has no more strength to sleep with any Egyptian woman. It was done. If God doesn't show up now, there's no more hope. God waited for him to be 90 years old and 9. Then the Lord appeared before Abraham and said, I am the Almighty. You can't see me as mighty when you are still mighty. Your strength is not an advantage before my strength. Lower it down and let me come and become whole. I am the Almighty. Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Listen to this. You can attain this through suffering, but you can also attain it through dying. Do you get what I'm saying? Suffering can beat you till you are 90 and 9. Then now you can hear when God says, walk before me and be perfect. You know what it means now because you know what you have been doing.
no more energy. If Sarah should come now and say, and that's why when those three men walked to that place and said to Sarah, by this time next year, she laughed. All energy, IVF, everything exhausted. Isaac's and Samuel's will come when you are no longer running to your husband, but running to the altar. How shall these things be? By the Holy Spirit. It quickens wombs. For some of you who are not married, I'm giving you a template that will help you ahead. Say, now we are ready. Let's make babies. You will now learn waiting, sir. The heavens and the earth. We are ready to make baby now. God made the heavens and the earth. He gave you in charge. He didn't tell you to make. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's just leave that there. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 5 verse 3. Message translation. Matthew 5 verse 3. Message translation. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. You think when you are at the end of your rope, all hope is lost now. And that's why I tell you that blessing does not really mean material accumulation. No. Blessing is anything that leaves you with God as your final option. That breakup, that when it happened, God is now, oh Lord, now in your presence, Lord. Oh, that breakup is a blessing. You see that one that is happening? Like I say, when I make new hair and I paint my face, it will, oh my God, it will know that you've not gotten there. When you now get to the point where, only you, all good and perfect gifts comes from you, Lord, I submit, then you will see Isaac. And that's why a relationship can be godly and ought to work. But the moment you have seen that relationship as the proof of God's love, God will show you that there is no greater proof than Christ. It is an Isaac, it must die. That's why I have a formula till today. There is nothing, listen to this. If you give me anything, whether it is a need or something, I check my response. If the response is too much, I know it's an idol and that thing will have to go. I'm not yet ready for it. You get what I'm saying now? I think I shared the story of one time we just got a new car. And I was going to travel. And as the car came, my wife and my husband came out. Oh, thank God for this. I didn't tell her anything ahead. I got to where I was going that night. I was worried. And I called her. Did anything shift in your heart? Maybe you became more happy, more joyful when this car came. And this, you feel God is better. God is more good to us. She said, no. I stand before God who made the heavens and the earth. If that was the case, that car goes to whomever God wants it to go to that night. Nothing is worth showing to me that God is more good than the fact that He has given us His Son. Do you get what I'm saying? I didn't know I could have found a man like you. Now I know. Now you know. Now you know that God is good. Now you know. You just spoke like the Israelite in the wilderness. Now you know. So you never knew. This is not how to know. You are to know by knowing what God really gave you in Christ. Sometimes from the way you do those things, you have programmed that thing for exit. You may not see it now, but for you to move to the next class, this thing here has to die. Can we discuss the real Bible faith? Do you hear what I'm saying? Absolute dependence on God.
absolute. When God said to me it was time to come to Ibadan, oh Lord, my first few weeks here was always down. Ah, what is happening? If I would have seen many people, you know that I always what is at this place is so boring. It's as if it's so boring. This is so. How we church grow? We started church in my house. The landlord will come and pack chair, lock water, lock everything. I say, hey. And God has said we should come to go and do church here. God has said, when we're going to move down here, and God said, don't bring a pin. Listen to this. When God take all things from you and give you himself, he's giving you all things. Do you get what I'm saying? Once your faith, your belief is rooted in material things, you have a problem waiting to happen. And you'll face issues. You know, we have not taught people this part. Say it, I have faith. Say it again, I have faith. Say it again, I have faith. One time, Abraham called all his servants, those who have labored with him for years, and he began to give them different things. Donkeys, camels, tents, and different things. He gave his possession to them, and he looked at Isaac, and he said, I'm going to give you all that I have. And what was the all that he had? Kneel down. Take the blessing. Why? See, listen. It's like those in the Old Testament even had more belief than we do. How will Jacob in Genesis 27 enter to Isaac to be blessed and did not wait to fight for properties? He left with the staff and a conviction. Kai! You enter a city with your CV. He left with a staff. You have your CV, everything. Your computer, everything. Say, I don't have anything. Consciousness. Powered consciousness. Powered consciousness. Powered consciousness. That word went forth that you are blessed. I have it already. How come? What have we become? That you sweat and pay for a man. At the end of the day, he said, I'm not sure the thing has gone. My God! So you see people falling like sons of men. That's not supposed to be the ideal. That if God says go to a city and you don't know anybody there, you know it is they that do know their God that shall be strong and shall do exploit. You say, God, will you go with me? Say yes. I have more than enough. Do you get what I'm saying? Gradually, what I'm saying is that our faith is now rooted in materials. Do you get what I'm saying? There are Christians now whose esteem and impact is built on social media followers. Can we have people that will say, take me from this place you think you have seen results and put me anywhere else under this same government, you will see the same result. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I have no emotional attachment to any location. The same God will do the same thing and even more. The same God. I have seen instances in this house that we have mega project. Are you following what I'm saying?
mega project. And we are trusting God for resources. And God will say, what you have, you know what to do. Listen to this. And somebody will just call us from one country and say, this is your project. Will so, so and so amount be enough? That thing will not be powered until you have acted in faith. Listen. Favor is not beggy. If God doesn't touch the heart of kings, when you try to touch it, you are a nuisance.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Ask those who work with me. The moment we are starting a project we don't have money for, that is when we sow the most. Listen. I want to teach you something very important, but I don't know if your heart can. You know the reason why Christians don't get results? Because they are ever learning, but they don't ever do. One of the principles I found super important. We want to power a season. We remember people with sincere labors. Let me leave it there. Because even if I finish it, do you get what I'm saying? I have seen this system again and again. That where your feet cannot get to, the Spirit of God can get there. You do what you do, your transaction with God, and watch Him do His transaction with men on your behalf. Guy. And sometimes He chooses to wait because He's King. This one that you pressure to talk is not God. He's King. He's the King. And He keeps quiet. And He builds you. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are in a situation where all hope is lost, do you know the formula? Because if we see, we are not fighting as one that is beating the air. Many believers are still fighting. They don't know which key opens what door. That is a very risky way to live. They don't know what key powers what system. They don't know how to power a system. A door that is not opening. And say, listen, when it doesn't open, wait, there's a way to open this guy. You get what I'm saying? I have been at the office several times. They called me for different kind of conditions. Never have I said, hey, don't bring them. There is a key that guarantees consistent result. Consistent result. What is the secret of ever increasing weight? Freshness in every meeting. There's a key. And if you have not found it, you'll be having undulated realities. You are fighting. Today you are fresh. Tomorrow you are still. Next tomorrow you don't even know which one you are. You finish ministering. You feel so bad, so used up, so beaten. You can't finish your mandate that way. But there's something that can be revealed to you. And the result will be consistent. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Say it loud and clear. The best way you can. God can be trusted. Say it again loud and clear. God can be trusted. If Jacob, let's even start from Abraham, without baptism of the Holy Ghost, will hear the voice of God say, leave your father's house and your mother's house to a land I will show you. And listen to this. When they got to the land, it takes a man who knows what is working, what is upon his life, to tell Lot to choose first. And Lot went for the most advantaged territory. But listen, it is not about the land, it's about what is upon the man. There are no, I tell you again and again, there are no dry lands. There are only dry men. It is not about the land. Recently, I still heard Bishop Dagawood Mills share a story of when he was driving Archbishop Benson and on behalf of his spiritual father, Archbishop Duncan Williams, and they drove through the street of the church and they said, "Sir, this is our facility and all that." And Archbishop says, "Park." Listen to this. And he went to the place and he looked at that place and he went to the altar and he placed his hand there and he said, "Church, grow." 2 weeks after was when Archbishop died. But the word had gone forth. So you look at the kind of result that that man has in Ghana, powered by a word. Can you look at deaf ears and say, "Be opened," and know that what you have said will not fall to the ground? One time somebody looked at me and said, "You too, you went to a meeting." The fellow felt, because I'm a very quiet person, that there is no working of miraculous. He doesn't know me. He said, "You too, you are trying to do." I just shook my head. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Listen to this. Any meeting, regardless of what I'm feeling or not feeling, can turn upside down in a second. Kai. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't have to feel, is God here? And it doesn't happen to prove a point in the direction of God's desires. Recently, I found out that there was a shift in my life. That when I tell people, "Go and prosper," I just see that there are results that is happening like hot oil. I said, "What is this? What is this?" We can get predictable results consistently by not fighting as one that is beating the air. Something is happening. What do we operate now? Let's try the blood of Jesus. Oh, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus is not working in your village. Holy Ghost fire, yeah, Holy Ghost fire. You know, I shared the story of what happened when we were in school. And I got into trouble for it. We're having a meeting they call the impartation meeting. We've gone to call one minister for the impartation meeting. Listen, I was the Joint Christian Campus Fellowship president, but I just decided to join all those meetings, you know, to also be blessed. And they just call one brother like that, say impartation service. May we know the ways of God. And the brother, because, listen to this. Those who understand the dynamics of the anointing will get different results. Don't worry, you are not in ministry. The brother has finished the preaching. He was now going to, now, the falling down session. It doesn't work that way. It is a flow. And the idea of the flow is not falling down. It is God doing what he wants to do. And began to now lay hands. Anytime you have to push and push, and you are becoming like sons of Cephas. And began to shake people's head and shake their head. And shake. Nothing was happening. And one time, frustration can be real. And he called a brother there. He said, "What song do people used to sing here that make God move?" I said, "My God." Unfortunately, the fellow he asked had a very serious answer. And the fellow said, "Holy Ghost, attack, 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 Ghost, attack, 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 pa, pa, pa." When I saw that the struggle was becoming embarrassing, I said to him, "Can you give me a minute? If I know what I know now, I will have just been quiet." So I said, "Can we just worship God? We have not sung a song twice when the anointing of the Holy Ghost and soaked the entire atmosphere. I learned something from Kenneth E. again. He said, when you notice that the anointing for certain things is not available, teach. The word is anointed.
Do you get something?
That you shout the name of God does not put him under pressure to manifest to you if he doesn't know you. I'm not saying God doesn't know that person. If it is faith, you are not trying to push the hand. Notice we are trying to push the hand of God. No. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you know what key opens what door? What key opens what door? Let me ask you a question. Are there things that you believe are certain about your life, and the root of that belief is in what Christ finished? You need to really investigate it, so that failure in those areas will not be what will expose you. I say, see, that's why, listen to this. That's why we do long retreat. That's why we do long meditation. I'm not talking about yoga. I'm talking about meditation on the word. That's why we practice stillness. There are too many noise in the society. Too many people are saying, they are saying many things at the same time. That's why we withdraw. I say, hold on a minute. It looked like I trusted God in this area, but I didn't show up. God always shows up if all the principles are aligned. What did I miss? Don't just go in your little esteem and say, if he doesn't show up, it pleases him. That's God. He's your father. If you call him and he didn't answer, he's not Baal. He didn't go on a journey. You check, because you don't want that to repeat itself again. Do you get what I'm saying? So you look at different aspects of your life. Why am I not getting results here? Could it be pressure powering this place? Could it be this powering that? Could it be an attempt to prove powering this? Could it be this? If it is any other thing but absolute dependence on God, the result will still be colossal failure. And that's why there is no place you put a man of faith that is not the best place. There is no place. Do you get what I'm saying? Is somebody getting blessed? If your faith is even as small as the grain of mustard seed, I mean, look at the Israelites. What's their issue? I mean, God was angry. He said he wasn't pleased with them. They saw God did many things. God parted the Red Sea before your eyes. He did. Exodus 14, Moses stood there. Egyptians were closing on them. Moses was giving them motivation. Give me that Exodus 14. Sometimes you are giving motivation and God is saying, it is not motivation. It is progress. What? Lord spoke to Moses and saying, yes. Speak unto the Israelites that they turn and before, all right. Can you please, let me read from my Bible, all right. Let me show you something. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes you are trying to encourage God by giving people motivation and say, when I give them motivation, God will be encouraged and God is going to do this. What are you talking about? Now let's go to Exodus 14, verse. Verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Look at what they are saying. And they said unto Moses, because there were no grave in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore thou hast dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Look at it. The days of your trouble will manifest the hidden things of your heart. That I knew. That all this thing now, when they say I should have faith for this thing, I know I didn't have faith. I know it's going to put us in trouble. Do you know what I'm saying now? You are saying God is going to change. That's why I don't want to marry you, because I know it's not going to change anything. That's why you didn't see the change. You said it. You know it's not going to change it.
It is dangerous to move with somebody who doesn't believe in what God is doing in your life in the same boat and say you can make them believe. People that God has not successfully made to believe.
We say, we told you. Meaning that all the time they were moving and coming, they were saying, we know, maybe this is where we're going to die. They had no single faith. All right? It's not what we did in Egypt. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness.
It is called institutionalization. When you leave a prisoner in prison for so long, prison becomes the best world he knows. If you take him out of prison and he comes to the society becomes prison, prison becomes his freedom.
You get what I'm saying?
People can be in trouble for 3 years, but the trouble can be in them for 30 years.
There's no more slave trade legally practiced in the world, but the effect is still very real. Moses said he thought 40 years before this time, he said, I thought that they will understand by books that their deliverance will come from me. That's why he was doing it. It's because am I not reading the same Bible they are carrying? I thought they will know now. 400 years is going. God wants to begin their deliverance.
That's why Daniel was a different man. He understood by books that the time has come. Do you get what I'm saying? If you are not searching scriptures, you can't know your appointed time.
I mean, look at it now. They are saying, I mean, look at all God did. These guys saw the plagues. They saw frogs. They saw darkness cover those places. They saw their firstborn died. They saw their blood water turn to blood. There was a demarcation between Goshen and Egypt. They saw how God separated them as a peculiar people.
But their heart did not change.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Their heart did not change. Listen to this. Miracle does not give men faith.
Okay. This is how, when they see miracles, they will believe. It's a lie.
What the word can't do, nothing else will do. If somebody who has not discerned through the word sees where a dead person is rising, if they won't believe, they won't believe.
I said, we told you. Look at it. Moses became a motivational speaker, 13. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now look at God's response. God is not a civilian. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Meaning that, when Moses was given that motivation, in his heart, he's saying, God, show up. If something doesn't happen, this Egyptian, let me tell you what will happen. If the Egyptians come close, water has not parted, they will catch Moses and say, let's show you. Say, Pharaoh, come, we've caught this idiot and stone him to death and say, carry us, let's follow you. So God knew. Moses was giving them motivation, but he was crying to him. Sometimes what a person is saying is different from what is going on in his heart. Say, ah! Emi, okay, I'll be fine.
God is saying, why are you thinking about death? Thinking about death. But what is he saying? Me, I'll be fine. But in his heart, do you get what I'm saying?
When you say, I know this fellow that has faith, and the fellow, nothing happened, nothing changed you. How do you know the fellow has faith? The root of faith is in the heart. With the heart, man believes. Do you see the heart? That's where God checks. Alright? Wherefore cast thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. God did not say, I will divide it.
You get what I'm saying? What kind of instruction is that? This was not, are you following what I'm saying?
This was not a river. See. Say, stretch your rod over it and do what? Divide it. Alright? I mean, the Israelites, they saw many things. One time again, you would think people who have seen all these things now will repent. They wanted to eat meat. They said, Moses, don't think we are done. We remember how that when we were in Egypt, we ate garlic. I say, it's true. Ah, I forgot the way garlic tastes now. Ah! So I say, we ate cucumber. I say, ah, it's true. He said, we ate melon. He said, ah, melon! Ah! I say, we ate leeks. He said, but now that we are here with you, there's nothing you are giving us except for this. What is it again? This manna. You know what they were eating? The Bible called it angel's food. Do you get what I'm saying? They look at it and say, it's a dangerous manner. They say, if you have lived us in Egypt, maybe we'll be eating garlic, we'll be eating melon, we'll be eating leeks. They were not vegetarians. So. Do you get what I'm saying? They forgot their slavery. And we're talking about just the compensation of slavery. Let me show you why God was angry with them. Psalm 78. Let me start reading from verse 5. I mean, so you can see this and then I can lead you to prayer. Is that okay? That's why we are digging from the matters of the heart. Before we now begin to talk about the spirit of faith in terms of commanding result. Do you get what I'm saying? Let's relay the foundations now. Because let me say this to you. 2023 is for those who know principles. Alright, let's start reading from verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. I mean, look up. I told some pastors who are following. I don't know where they are pastors. And I told them, each time you stand before the people and you are wondering if God will show up like he has done before, he won't show up. You will struggle. Do you get what I'm saying? It shows you don't know the ways of the Lord. Do you get what I'm saying? You can come to a point where result is guaranteed and consistent. It is not whether God will show up. It is that he will. Do you get what I'm saying? Now let's look at this again. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Testimony, make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise, and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. That is, tell them what God has done before. Tell them what God has done. So that they will set their hope in God. And forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being harmed and carrying bows, turned their back in the days of battle. They had all it takes to win, but they ran. Alright? They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Look at it. Verse 11 is where the issue is with everybody. And they forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. The reason why you don't have faith is because you forget. That's all. You are asking for something new as if he has never done something before. Like he doesn't have a track record. The way you are even asking him, you are asking him in court like the one who has a record of disappointment. Show up this time. You get what I'm saying? When we have a generation that forgets his testimonies, God is saying you had bow, you had arrows, you forget covenant, you turn your back in the days of battle. David had Goliath shouting for 40 days. You get what I'm saying? Goliath was casting spell. When David came, the question he asked was, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why circumcision? That's the mark of our covenant. I have it. I know I'm under covenant. It doesn't. It's not covered. Anybody who recognizes that will defeat Goliath. He will fall. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Goliath will fall. I mean, I wrote extensively about this in my upcoming book. Goliath will fall. But they will rather look at the stature of Goliath, not his spiritual alignment. That even the king, the Bible says, was shoulder taller than anybody, will cower in his. Look at the way they were giving David sermon on how not to face him. What does a 17-year-old boy know? That when Goliath stood face to face with him, he didn't wait for Goliath to come. He ran towards him. Kai! Why will you run towards Goliath? Because he knows he will fall. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the kind of faith God is looking for. You say, if I die, I die. Those who say so don't end up dying. Do you get what I'm saying? David's brothers, Eliab, Shammah, Saul, even Jonathan, were looking at that seven. What was he running with? A stone. And he was weaving stone against a giant that is wearing helmet. What did he know? He said his testimony. He said, while I was keeping my father's sheep. Are you seeing that now? The root of what he was doing was remembrance of what God did. He said, I remember now. I was in my father's sheep. A lion came and a bear came after. Do you get what I'm saying? What God has done is a souvenir never to be thrown away. Let me say this to you. That's why, listen to this. You wander your way out of faith once Thanksgiving stops. Once you stop, do you get what I'm saying? Once murmuring stops, you just notice you are faithless. I remember one time this. I was in church. I had just 20 naira left. God says, give everything as offering. I gave. At the end of somebody met me outside. This happened. Remember. And God said that this is supposed to be the pattern. Recite my testimony before your children. And let them also recite it before they are. If the result will be duplicated, the memory must be consistent. Keep sharing it. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, my daughter now comes to me. I say, Daddy, there's a guy I want to marry. This. He said, he's a pastor. This. What should I do? I say, I remembered. When I want to marry your mother, this was the amount I have in the account. This. Recite it before your children. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? What have you forgotten? Listen, God has a track record that is bigger than what you are currently trusting Him for. If only you will remember. And that's why the first thing that happens when spiritual decline begins is forgetfulness. And the proof of that is anxiety. Anxiety is a sign you don't remember again. As if God has not shown up before. The way you are even talking, we know. It's as if you have never met God in your life. Do you get what I'm saying? Can I give you some meaning to remember? I don't know the posture you want to take, but I want it to be a sincere posture. A very sincere posture. Oh, yiki, yiki, oh. I want somebody on the cymbal. Alakoso oro, ema lo go juno.
Alapala ton sole ayero. Ele ti lukara piha jere. Alapala ton sole ayero. Ele ti lukara piha jere. Ile ole che. Tale uchi lo Ile ole che. Oba mi fonto lo kari aye. Tale uchi lo. O yige yige o. O yige yige o. Lato sole ayero eleti lukara bi ajere ala pala to sole ayero eleti lukara bi ajere kila oleche. laying all on me, laying all on me, laying all on me, laying all on me. Tonight is not just a night of God is able, it is a night of God is willing. And I don't know what you have been trusting God for, or what aspect of your life needs to open up. But the time has come, says the Lord. As we begin to remember the things He has done before, He does it again, much more. Listen to this. Listen to this. There is no man of faith, authentic faith, that you'll find that is not a man of praise. And that praise is regardless of tribulations and turbulences. Are you following what I'm saying? It's with what, regardless of what situations and turbulences. Can we give the Lord a big shout?
Say, I remember how you always show up. You are the God who shows up always. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. Bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God. We bless you, Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God.
Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. Because we know a new beginning is here. A new season is here. Someone who has once felt defeated is going back again with victory. We thank you because our testimonies are here already. We have the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. We rejoice knowing that you are the God who shows up always. Father, I ask that a new spirit sit upon your children. It is the spirit of faith. We give you praise, dear Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Just give the Lord a big, big hand. Is that how you celebrate Jesus? Now, if you have been blessed tonight, give Lord a big clap again. Hallelujah. Now, I believe that God is set to do new things. Many of you will see that beyond this teaching, the Holy Ghost will further on this as you go home and begin to show you strategic areas, strategic postures, specific ones, and you'll see results. Hallelujah.
The blessings in the Word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the Word. Be a doer of the Word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289, Femi Lazarus Ministries, UBA.